I hope that you took your Sunday talk from this morning, stuffed it in the back of your Bible, and ready to pull out and look at items 6 through 10 in our list that we began today. Again, as you see on the screen, the title of the lesson is, I Will Develop Good Habits. And that's what we want to do. It's so easy to develop bad habits. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to get ourselves caught up into things we shouldn't be and wasting time and maybe a thought pattern that's negative or whatever. You got to work at some good habits. But the idea, of course, in this lesson is to do just that, to replace some bad habits with some good habits that will allow you to have a greater and a more productive and a more enjoyable walk with the Lord. So as you find that particular Sunday talk, there we go. Let's take a look here by way of review of what we talked about this morning, just very briefly, and then we'll get right to the last five of the list of ten. Of course, this particular list comes from a book by Og Mandino entitled The Greatest Salesman in the World. This is a power of positive thinking type book. You may have read it. He has written others that are similar to it. And it's just a fascinating read. He has a fictitious story that carries you along through the book. But at the end, he mentions these 10 particular suggestions. And as I read through this many years ago, and the 10 suggestions, I got to thinking, and I thought, you know, all of these are mentioned in the Bible. These are all Bible concepts. And so we preach this tonight, not that I'm preaching the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, but rather using that outline and preaching the Bible text that will support these things and hoping that you'll use them to develop some good habits and become their slave. Today we took a look at number one, I'm going to begin a new life, that we should have a brand new attitude each day, realizing, as Paul said, we forget what lies behind and press on to the future for the upward call in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we said we will greet this day with love in our heart. And there's a lot of attitudes we could have each day: drudgery, dread, hate, prejudice, indifference. There's a lot of negative stuff out there that's really easy to pick up. But the challenge here is to start each day with love. Love for yourself, love for family, your spouse, those that you come in contact with. And because we know that no matter what we do, if we don't do it with love, it amounts to nothing. And we looked at that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And third, I will persist until I succeed. Sometimes we quit way too soon on a variety of projects. We count ourselves a failure. I can't handle it. I can't go on. The persecution, the obstacles are just too great. And none of that really adds up other than the fact that we just didn't persist long enough. We didn't hang in there long enough. And so Jesus said, by your perseverance, you will win your souls. And the idea, of course, is to remain faithful, to hang in there and don't quit. And in the end, you will come out a big winner. And a lot of our goals, not only eternally, but in the short term, here can come true if we will be persistent with them. Number four, I am God's greatest miracle. And as you see, I have miracle there in quotes. We're not talking about a true miracle or sign or wonder, as the Bible would tell us. But rather, I focused on this one, the idea that you are a wonderful person because you're a Christian, because you've put on God in baptism, and that you have all kinds of spiritual blessings at your disposal. And a lot of times we forget that. We forget where we are. We forget where we stand in the world with all these things going for us. We shouldn't be negative, shouldn't be critical, shouldn't have a give-up attitude because of what God has promised to those who are His children, those who have put on Christ. And then number five, I will live this day as if it is my last. And the importance is with how we use today. Paul, I believe, only had 2 days on his calendar, and that is today and the day. That is Judgment Day. And he was using every today to get ready for Judgment Day. And truly, when we think of it that way, life is pretty short. And we need to use each day as most profitably as we can, spiritually and in our relationships and in whatever it might be, because we're using each day in preparation for the day when we'll have to give an account of all that we've done and said. Okay, with that then as a very brief review of this morning's lesson, let's move on then to number six. And the sixth habit that we need to form is that I will master my emotions. I will master my emotions. Some of us are, by our very nature, more emotional than others. Some of us can cry at the drop of a hat when we see something on television or hear a sad story. We just melt. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that people have different emotional makeups, and it takes more for others to get upset at things. But I'm not talking about crying or being upset or not necessarily being empathetic or sympathetic with this. My gist with this point, if I can get it out here, is the fact that in our emotions, we're going to train ourselves in loving the right things and not loving the wrong things. So many times in our emotions, they get us in trouble because they don't allow us to operate the way we should. And we fall in love with things of the world, and we give in to the temptations of the world, and we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. Well, the whole point of these lessons today is to get rid of bad habits and form new habits. And one way you do that is to control your emotions and say, you know what, I'm not going to fall in love with the world anymore. There's nothing out there that I need. There's nothing out there that's going to help me go to heaven. It's just the opposite of all of that. And so what I need to do is learn to love the things of God, learn to love spiritual things and those kinds of values. I want to read here, as you see on the screen, from Galatians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 16. You know this passage well, that we are to shun the things of the carnal nature, but yet we are to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the idea here of mastering your emotions. I'm not going to love the things of the world. I'm not going to fall in love with that kind of sin, but rather I'm going to fall in love with the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Let's take a look at this passage here, and then we'll move on. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition, one to the other, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's the things to stay away from. There's where we've got to master our emotions and say, I am not going to be in love with any of that stuff. I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to hate that stuff. Of course, we don't hate anybody, but we can hate the sin. And this is quite a list here that we need to stay away from. Well, in starting then in verse 22, the picture changes. And here's what we ought to be in love with. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now to those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Sure enough, in that list, the last thing is self-control. And I'm working on a sermon now. I'm not exactly sure when it's coming up. I'm a few months ahead here on my lessons, but I've got one called Add Self-Control. It actually comes from 2 Peter in verse 1 there, where it says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and not, you know, all those kinds of things. And so we're going to talk about self-control in greater detail here in the weeks to come, but notice it's one of the things listed here. Mandino in his book says the following, which I think is interesting on this particular point. He says, if I feel depressed, I will sing. If I feel sad, I will learn to laugh. If I feel proud, I will remember a moment of weakness. If I feel wealthy, I will remember one unfed mouth. If I feel my skill is unmatched, I will look at the stars. If I feel all-powerful, I'll try to stop the wind. If I feel insignificant, I'll remember that I'm loved by God. Before sadness, self-pity, and failure set in, we need to realize that weakness is he who permits his thoughts to determine that. Again, control your emotions. Instead of feeling depressed and proud and all of those things, learn to turn it around and master those emotions to love God and to love and do the things that He would have you to do. All right, number 7 then in our list. Here he says, I will learn to laugh at the world. I will learn to laugh at the world. One of the points that he makes in this book, and I guess he's right. I never really thought about it much, and it was kind of interesting in reviewing for this lesson some of these things. Mandino says that of all of God's creation, humans are the only ones that laugh. We're the only ones that really have a sense of humor. Animals don't. The plants don't. Man does. And laughter is a wonderful gift of God that only we have the capability of enjoying. And so he says we should do that. That truly the world is a very sad, sick place at times with a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, but truly we need to learn to laugh. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 says, in life there is a time to weep, but also a time to laugh. He says there is a time to mourn, but also a time to dance. And the idea is that, yes, we're going to have plenty of opportunity to mourn and weep, but there's also times in life that we need to learn to laugh. We need to learn to enjoy. Times of dance, times of party, types of celebrations and all that are, of course, keeping with the Christian system. But nevertheless, learn to laugh and use that. I have another book in my office that I have used as a guide for sermons here at Sunnyside, and it's a commentary on the book of Philippians, and the title of the book is Laugh Again. And I like that because that's the idea of rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And the idea is that, again, we need to learn to laugh as people. Spend a little time each day in laughing at something. Laugh at home, laugh at work, laugh at church. Laugh and you'll digest your food better. Laugh and your burdens will be lighter. Laugh and your life will actually be longer. Laugh and your health will be better. How many times have we seen people, you know, ward off disease and all kinds of problems just because of a happy-go-lucky spirit? Laugh and live above your problems. Truly in the book of Philippians, as you see listed on the screen, various places Paul says to rejoice in life. Rejoice in all ways. Rejoice in the work of the church, he talks about. Rejoicing with others. Rejoicing in the Lord's blessings. Just so many passages. I hate to choose just one, so I'll choose the famous one, I guess. And that's Philippians 4:4, which is a command, by the way. The you is implied, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That doesn't mean somebody else. That means you, and that means me. The you is implied. You rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Of course, some people being happy and rejoicing is more difficult than others, but if you want to start a brand new habit and get a new lease on life and cultivate some good things, here's one thing to do. Learn to laugh at the world. All right, number 8, as we're filling in our list here, this is a neat one because this is one of these little phrases maybe that you have just read over in your Bible. You've done that. You picked up your Bible and read a passage you've seen before, and all of a sudden there's something in that passage just kind of jumps out at you. And you said, I didn't see that before. You ever done that? You ever had that happen in your Bible reading? It's like, that's been there all the time. Why didn't I see that? That's the beauty of the Scriptures, and it's the beauty of staying in the book and reading the book on a regular basis, because that'll happen time and time again to those who do that. Well, number 8 to me is one of those little phrases you may have overlooked back in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 to 31. And the idea here is that today I will multiply my value 100-fold. And it's like, Greg, where in the world did you get that? I mean, that's got to be pure Og Mandino, right? No, Jesus said that. Go back now with me, if you haven't already done so, with our scripture reading that Stephen gave for us just a minute. Back out of Mark chapter 10. Let's look at it slowly, and that's exactly what Jesus says we can do if we'll follow Him, that we will magnify and increase our value 100-fold in doing that. Mark 10, verse 29, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and the gospel's sake. Now, here it is. Here's the little quick part that sometimes we read over, because we get into that long list there in verse 29 and say, okay, he's covered about everything in that list, all right? But notice what he says in verse 30. But that he shall receive 100 times. There's the 100-fold right there. That he shall receive 100 times as much now. We're not talking about in heaven. We're not talking about, you know, the pearly gates and all that. He's saying you can increase your value and your stock and your blessings 100-fold right now in the present age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, and along with them some persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Yeah, that's what happens when you follow Jesus. You increase your value as a human being. You increase your value as someone who's very productive in society, who's working for God and can receive God's great blessings when you forget all of that. Now, of course, the rub is it's kind of hard to forget all those things, you know. And truly, the passage is not talking about you got to necessarily hate father and mother, as it's recorded over in Luke chapter 14. But the idea is that you love God and you love Jesus so much, and you follow him to such a degree, it would appear as if you're hating father and mother and brother and sister and farms and lands and possessions because your commitment is so great then to the Lord. Jesus says if you'll do that, you will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Multiply your value 100-fold by living a life of truth, living a life of integrity, honesty, dependability, diligence, thrift, humility, self-denial, goodness. You put all those kinds of things together in doing what God wants you to do and being what God wants you to be. And Jesus says, I will multiply your blessings 100-fold. Wow. That tells me there's a habit I need to cultivate. I need to work at loving God supremely and being all that I need to be for him, so that I can be what he wants me to be, and then just stop and enjoy all the blessings that are going to follow. I guarantee you, if you went out on the street and you said, would you like to increase your value 100-fold, you're going to get a crowd. You know, they're going to listen for a while. Now, when you tell them what the kicker is of what they've got to do to get there, now you may lose your crowd, but everybody would appeal to that. And truly, you can do it spiritually in the eyes of God as well. All right, number 9. Is that right? 9? Yeah. This might be the toughest one of all. Of all 10. I don't know. As you look through this list, there may be some things you say, well, yeah, Greg, that's right, but I'm going to have a hard time with that one. Well, I understand that. This is one of these that might fit into that category. Because one of the great habits that people have to get into if they want to be a success, and if they want to be all that God wants them to be, is that we've got to learn to not procrastinate. We've got to learn to act now. It is so easy to put off to tomorrow, you know, what we don't want to do today. We can come up with a million excuses and a million, you know, alibis for not doing this and not doing that, can't we? We all play that game. But what happens is that over a period of time, we're probably a little dissatisfied with ourselves and say, you know what, I've wasted a lot of time, and I didn't get this done, I didn't get that done, I didn't make this call or that visit or do whatever for my spouse, and we're not happy with ourselves. Well, here's a new habit. Act now. Don't put it off. Don't give me this one of these businesses, you know, once I get around to it, you know, I'm going to get it done. I had somebody give me a round to it once. You ever had somebody do that to you? A little round piece of thing, and it says T-U-I-T on it. You know, there's my to it, T-U-I-T, and it was round, so there's my round to it. All right? Don't say when I get around to it, I'm going to do it, but learn to act now. You're going to start reading your Bible when? Tonight, you know. You're going to start praying more when? Tonight, today, not tomorrow morning. No, you're going to learn to act now. He said, I want to put it in practice right now. It's the procrastination to say, well, if I put it off to Monday, I can put it off to Tuesday. If I put it off to Tuesday, I can put it off to Wednesday. And don't laugh. We play that game, don't we? Let's be honest. We're all there. So we need to learn to act now. Action is the food and drink that will nourish your success. Visit someone in the name of Christ now. Say no to temptation now. Begin new habits now. My procrastination of good things will cease now. I will do what Jesus says now. And that's exactly what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. He said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. It's a lot of us, that might be the toughest of the whole business. But I guarantee you, if we'll start doing what we need to be doing, then we're on our way to success. We're on our way to canceling out a bad habit, procrastination, and developing a good one in acting now. Well, the last one then in our list of 10 that's so very, very important is that I will pray. Prayer is very hard spiritual work for many people. Some people have a great prayer life, and God bless you. You know, if it just comes natural and you do it all the time, that's fine. But I find a lot of my brethren, when they're really honest with me, say that, you know, prayer is just hard spiritual work. It's hard for me to find time to pray. It's hard for me to get into a regular habit of prayer. Well, I understand that because I'm with you. I do well in my prayer life for a while, and then for a while I just kind of do lousy, you know. And it's just harder spiritual work than we think. And remember, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, come in here and pray with me for just an hour. Well, what'd they do? They fell asleep, didn't they? They couldn't do it. Because prayer is hard spiritual work for anyone to do. But it is one of the great keys, I believe, to success. In talking to God every day. If husbands and wives didn't spend time talking to one another on a daily basis and often, their marriage would suffer. If employees don't talk to one another on the job and communicate about what they're doing, the business will suffer. I mean, that's just commonplace. We know that. We've got to communicate to get things done. Hello. We need to start talking to God. We need to start praying to Him and communicating that way on a regular basis. He's got plenty of time. And He's always ready to listen. You're not going to catch Him busy and say, well, Lord, when you're not busy running the world and all 6 billion people on this planet, then you got a second for me, I'll talk to you. No, that ain't the way it works. It's just the opposite. That when you start praying to God, it's as if He stops the whole world and blessing 6 billion people, and He listens just to you. We need to be people of prayer, praying all the time. Pray at home, pray at work, pray in the car, pray in your closet, pray often, pray at night, pray during the day, pray when you don't feel like praying. Yeah, you know the passage in 1 Thessalonians, verse 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing, meaning having a great attitude of prayer. You don't want to do anything without praying about it first. That doesn't mean you got to have a prayer on your lips, you know, just all the time. I don't think that's what Paul has in mind here. I think the idea is no matter what you do, whether it's a job or family or school, you name it, do it with a prayer on your lips. Do it going into it with a prayer. Say, Lord, bless me in this, you know, help me in that. And sure enough, when problems come, pray about it. When good things happen, thank God in prayer that the good thing did happen. And sure enough, prayer will be that wonderful avenue of success. And think about it. I've got a few names listed here. I can't think of any of my great heroes, that is Bible heroes, your Bible heroes too, that were not people of prayer. You know, you think about Moses. Oh yeah, he had some great prayers recorded in Scripture. Think about Joshua. Think about David. Oh, what about Daniel? What a man of prayer, you know, all the time. What about Paul and Peter? John, all these people were great men of prayer. Even when we think about people like Cornelius, he was a great man of prayer, even before he became a Christian, for crying out loud. And so sure enough, all these people that we would look and say, oh, successful, heroes, getting the job done, they were people of prayer. So that's what we need to be as well. All right, so in conclusion here, in review, today I will master my emotions. I'm going to learn to love the right things and hate the bad things. Number 2 or number 7, if the case might be, I'm going to learn to laugh at the world. Find some time every day when you laugh. You know, for years I didn't read the comics. I've started to read them again. I want to laugh, you know, just to chuckle a little bit, because usually I said, I haven't got time to laugh. I got stuff to do. And I found out that didn't work. So find some time to laugh every day. Number 3 or number 8, learn to multiply your value 100-fold by giving up what you need to give up and giving your life to Jesus Christ. Number 9, learn to act now. Forget this procrastination business and putting off to tomorrow what you need to be doing today, and learn to act now. And then finally, learn and increase your prayer life. Don't do anything without praying about it first. And I think this will be 10 tremendous habits to put in your life that will help you get rid of the bad stuff and the bad habits, and you'll be ready to go in living for God. We have an invitation song selected, and Scott's going to lead us in that. And as we always have, is a time in our conclusion of our lesson for those who need to repent of sin, might need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe there's one or more here that needs to become a Christian. Well, we want to give you that opportunity to fulfill whatever needs you might have. And so if you have a need that we can help you with, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing.